Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Now that I have already reached the goal or aim, I am already fully matured. He might sound arrogant there when he just speaks there. But I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward what is ahead. I pursue as my goal and prize promised by God's heavenly calling, Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you are think differently, think about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth has attained. We have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who are living according to the example you have in us. And I would like to leave you three things as for us to reflect this morning that in this text that will help us start a new year 2018. 2018 is something different. We just sang it. It's a new season. It's a new season. We're gone. 2017 is gone. We're new now. 2018, time is clicking fast. Minutes are passing fast. And we're going to get, sooner or later, you're going to just turn your, close your eyes and go, open your eyes. Christmas has just come, and 2019 has just come. It's so fast. So we have 365 days a year. I hope my guy was right. Did I do well in school, 365 days? Yeah. So we want to, every day is important. Every day is important for every single one of us just to draw closer to Christ. It has Paul's affection for believers. Everything in this passage is coming on Paul, of Paul's heart. Yearning for these, he's writing personal letter to the church, and he gives exhortation on Christian living to the church in chapter 3, verses 1 and 4. Then we see verses 1 and 21. If you read it all, he gives exhortation to false teachers in verses 1 to 21. I encourage you to take the time and read Philippians 1, 2, 3, and 4, and so on. You will see how what kind of heart he has for the for God himself and for the people. And I have to say, the more, I said this even last Sunday, the more I have to say that I love you more than last year. Why is it because that? Because I spend more time with you daily. I know you more, and I spend time with you, and I start to love with you more and more. I've never desired for you to know more than I desired for you in the past. I desire more to know you. I want to know more who is Brother Humphrey or brother or sister or brother. I want to know the person. That's my desire, to know you more. And that's the same desire, we should know Christ more every single day of our life. Paul's heart is for the people in this church to walk faithfully in Jesus Christ. And that's my heart for every single one of you, is we will walk faithfully with Jesus Christ daily. Are you with me this morning? Don't fall asleep on me this morning because I'm just starting. Sometimes introductions are boring, but we're going to get there, okay? I never had a greater longing for you to walk with Jesus Christ more than ever before. And I examined 2017 and I examined every heart. Who am I to examine? But I examined every heart of you and I looked at you and I've seen your walk with Christ and I had conversations with people and I'm saying something. Okay, great. It's good. We need to be worked on, including myself. We want to grow. We want more and more to walk with Lord Jesus Christ. So three ingredients that I want to look at this morning for spiritual growth. Are you with me? Spiritual growth, verses 7 to 11. Paul longs to know Jesus more. I'm going to read that, and then we're going to get to my points this morning. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss. Because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all and consider them filth, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. Here it is. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. We see that Paul longs to know Jesus Christ more. You see his heart after Jesus Christ. And if we read verses 1 to 11 again, it might seem that it might sound prideful of what he has accomplished. It might sound that way, the way he spoke about it. But it's not even prideful, because in verse 12 of chapter 3, we see this. Not that I have already reached a goal, or am already fully matured, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, I am not perfect, and I wasn't made perfect, but there's a lot of work to be done in my life. See, we are not perfect people. If you're a perfect person, you stay as is. But you're not perfect. And I'm not perfect. So what do we need to do to have spiritual maturity? We got to work on it. We got to work at our salvation. I'm going to get to that. Work at our salvation is just not one thing is God saves you, Jesus Christ saves you, and that's it, that's all. You got to work out your salvation on a daily routine. And sometimes we're having a hard time to do the basic things in the church. And if you have a hard time doing the basic things in the church, you're not working out your salvation. It's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. So if you want to grow in 2018, there are things that to be in our part, in our life, that need to be worked on. If you want to grow spiritually, it demands us, the first point that I want to bring to you, it demands a clear goal in mind. Point number one, a clear goal in mind. Paul had a goal. And he says in verse 14, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call of Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul says, I see something at the end of the race and I want to get it. So he was so clear with his goal marked as a target. Not only he sees that, he wants to win the prize. So you have to have a goal. You want that price. You want what is at the end of the line, you got to have a goal for it and to get it. You're not just going to look in from a far away and just say, oh, that goal looks nice. Oh, that's good. But you're just going to sit around and just warm up a pew or just sit around and rot. No, you want that goal. So you want that price. So you have to set up a clear mind, a clear goal in mind and say, this is my goal. I'm going to get that price. And I don't care what it takes. I don't care if it takes fasting. I don't care if it takes scripture reading. I don't care if it takes attendance in church. I don't care whatever it is. I'm going for that price. I don't care whoever's in front of me, but a person is going to get out of my way because I'm going for that price. And I can tell you one thing. I have $1 billion in my account. I have $1 billion in my pocket right here. I guarantee you, you will find a way to push anybody out of the way to get that $1 billion. You will push. You will throw those chairs away because your goal is to get that $1 billion. How much more should we do for the price, our heavenly price, the crown of righteousness, that crown that God has given to us, that goal at the end, that prize at the end? We must go and pursue and pursue and go all the way until you get that price. Are you with me this morning? You have to have a clear goal in mind, and that's what Paul had. Pursue is my goal. The prize promised. God has promised a prize to you. God has promised a gift for you. Why not search it with all your heart? Why not go for it? So have this clear goal in mind. Not only that he wants to win the prize, the question is, what is that goal? The answer, we find it in verse 12. Not that I have already reached a goal or aimed already fully matured, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taking hold of Christ Jesus. Paul says, I want first place, not second place, not third place. I am not finished yet. I am not finished. I'm not living as I have already completed the race. No, I am living as the race needs to be run. And some of us don't want to continue running that race because you're there and you say, my life in 2017 was good, so I'm just comfortable as that. But no, Paul demonstrates to us, I will continue to race. If I am breathing today, if I'm alive today, it's because God has a purpose in my life, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to run. I'm going to pursue, and I'm going to continue until the last day I spend in here on heaven, on earth. You're going to run and go all the way. 2018 is a different year for us. 2018 will be a different year for us. I want to see this church individually, together, pursuing that goal and running and say, I don't care. I get out of the way because I'm going for Jesus. That's my prayer. I hope that's your prayer today. Is your goal to win 649? I don't want to touch that, okay? Your goal is to go ahead. Your goal is to, your pursue to go ahead because I want that goal. And Paul said, I'm not finished. I'm not finished. I'm going to continue. And I'm going to continue going, pressing on towards that goal. I want to finish the race right way. The way Jesus finished the race until the end. Many of us have done, and I remember when I was doing the marathons, I never finished the race. It looked good from the beginning. I was running and all of a sudden I cheated and I sat down. Because I couldn't do it anymore. But if I had someone beside me, come on, come on, let's go. Get up, get up, get up. And we hold each other and we run together and we ran together until the end of the race. It's the same thing in the spiritual world. When you see a brother and sister who is tired, who cannot do it anymore because of age, because of discouragement, because of whatever that hit them in 2017, you pick them up and say, let's press on until the end. Let's not give up. You're still breathing. God has a plan for your life. You pick up that brother, pick up that sister, and you just continue. 2018 is a different year. We're going to help each other. When you see someone down, you pick them up. When you see someone discouraged, you pick them up. When you see someone not coming to church for the last 4 weeks, you call them and make them a phone call. And if you don't, and if you don't see them again, you go to their house, knock on the door, pick them up, and bring them to church. 2018 is a different year. Do we believe that? Am I the only one who believes that? No. I think all of us believe in that. A clear goal in mind. The goal for Paul was Christ likeness. My goal is to be more like Christ. Your goal is to be more like Christ. And when you and I are more like Christ, there's things in the church that we will not say anymore. The things in the church will be very careful before we speak. We will think twice before we say something because Christ does not come to condemn the people in a way to hurt them. Christ comes to lift them up and to help them, to lead them to that goal, to lead them to the end of that race. And that's what you and I are called to do, to pick up that brother, to pick up that sister, instead of looking at them and criticizing them, pick them up and run with them until the end of the race. God wants you and I to be more like Jesus. And if you are still breathing this morning, you are not finished. If you're still here this morning, you are not finished. I am not finished. I am breathing today. So what do we need to do? What do you and I need to do? Aim at Christ. Here it is. If you aim at Christ, you become more like Christ. If you aim at sin, you will live the life of sin. But if you aim at Christ, you become more like Christ. Paul says one thing, I want to be like Christ, like Jesus. This is my goal. And that's what Paul says. If you want to grow spiritually, it demands us to have a clear goal. If you want us to grow spiritually, it demands us, point number two, a determined effort. You cannot reach to the goal if you don't put any effort in it. Sometimes people say, I'm just praying for the Lord to respond to me for a job. But if you don't go make an effort to go knock on the door, how can God open that door for you? I'm just waiting for the Lord. I asked the Lord to make me lose weight. And you're in front of that TV with a bag of chips. Whatever it is, we say something, but we got to make effort to it. Deal with a lot of people. I want to be more like Christ, but you don't see them in church. I want to be more like Christ, but they don't even open the word. How could you be like Christ if you don't even aim that direction? So you've got to aim that direction and have some effort in doing so, putting that effort. And you and I know, when someone goes to bodybuilding, they take 10 pounds. And then that's too easy for them. So then they put another 5 pounds more, and they put more effort. And then when that's okay, oh, this is easy. And you go to 25 pounds. And it goes on to 30 and to 40. And then you're going to get someone like me pick up 400 pounds. So you do it that. You effort. You have to make that effort. Determine effort. Determine is someone with in their mind made up about something. That's what it is. You will not accidentally become like Christ. You will need to make an effort to be determined that you want to be like Jesus. The length of time you attend church will not determine the way you made progress. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. Because sometimes we think attending church makes us spiritually. Or sometimes we say, I'm 9 years old. I have a lot of, you have wisdom. But it doesn't mean you have spiritual maturity in your life. Because if you don't do the basic things of life, you cannot grow spiritually. Let me explain. Just because you're getting old, like I said, doesn't mean that you're becoming spiritually mature. To be mature in your spiritual walk is to go, you got to go to work at it. You got to work at it. Now, I remember this man, he had leukemia. This man had leukemia, and he had a drug problem. He had a cocaine problem. And I remember he used to come to the services, to one of our services. And one of that Sunday morning, I shared my testimony of God removed me from the drug addictions and the streets, gangs and all that stuff. And the way I just share my testimony. And he comes to me at the end of the service. He says, you need to come over to my house. I know I want to change. I want to change. I want to be more. He was new. He says, I want to be more like you. No, you have to be more like Christ, I told him. You can't be more like me. No, but I want to experience like you, how God changed your life and how he transformed you in the way you are today. I said, sure. So I went over to his house, and we did what he had to do. We spoke. I spoke to him about the word of God. I explained to him. I encouraged him. I prayed with him. But then after that, he just stopped. He did not put an effort. He did not say, I'm going to this program, or I'm going to this church, or I'm going to say, you know something, I'm going to put this effort in reading one chapter a day, or I'm going to go this effort, I'm going to go to a prayer service, or I'm going to go to a week of prayer. He didn't put that effort in it. So what happened at the end? He aimed at the wrong place, and he did not make it. You got to have the effort in everything what we do. And I think many of us made that effort in our walk, in our workplace. We give all our best, so we'll become a manager or a supervisor or whatever it is, or an employee, whatever it is. You give it all because that's what you aim for and you want it to go for. You have to pull that effort. Spiritual maturity is achieved through becoming more like Christ. After salvation, every Christian begins the process of spiritual growth. In Philippians, Paul gives this idea. God started a work in me, and God is continuing to work in me because my responsibility is work with the greatest amount of effort by God's grace to make progress in their faith. Every word in this text, word of effort, extreme effort for the cause of being like Christ. In Philippians 3, verse 12 and 14, watch this. Not that I have already obtained all this, I already arrived at my goal, but I what? I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then in verse 14, you see, I press on toward the goal. Again, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwardly in Christ Jesus. How do we press on? That's the question. How do we continue? How do we press on? With what? How are we going to do this? We cannot press on if we don't have the zeal. You need to have zeal. You need to have this passion for it. In Philippians 3:6, it tells us, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law of faultless. You know that Paul was a person, in Acts 9, you'll see that he was a person who killed the Christians, who dragged them into prisons. He had that zeal in doing so to go against things of God. And now he has the same zeal to know Christ more. It's funny that we have zeal to do things of the world, but when it comes to things from God, we don't have the same zeal. But if we have that same zeal, the way Paul is telling us, I had that zeal to kill Christians, but now I have the zeal to know Jesus more. That's powerful, if you think of what I'm saying. Zeal is important. Paul was pressing on. He says, no, that zeal, I need to know Christ more. In chapter 3, verse 13, says, brothers and sisters, do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of, but one thing do, forgetting what is behind and straining what is ahead. Straining is this, leaning forth with the body like a runner in the race. The end of the line is there. And they're not going to run like this. They're going to run straining forward because they want to win. They want to win that race. And they're going to give it all its best and bring out that chest and bring out that arm, because whoever touches that ribbon first wins the race. That's the same way we got to do. Straining toward that goal. Go and don't you give up. You give it best. Give it all. Give it all your strength. Give it all and say, I want to win and I'm going to go until the end. And I don't care who's beside me, but I'm going to the end to win that prize. Are you with me this morning? I see some people nodding their heads, but their eyes are closed. I hope you're meditating. I hope you're meditating this morning. Paul is saying, that's my walk with Christ. He looks, bend your body forward, give any effort, strain forward to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. And the next thing that we look is at what? Forgetting what is behind. Now, this is what I want to share with you. Think of it for a moment. We always think of the term of forgetting what is behind is the bad things. Things that defeat us. And that is true. We want to forget those things. We want to overcome those things and go ahead and press forward and look at 2018 and forgetting all the 2017, the bad things that happened, and focus ahead in 2018 with greater things. And that's true. We want to forget those bad things. But I want to encourage you with something. You don't have to go in 2018 with the baggage you had in 2017. It's very simple. Take that baggage and leave it at the door and say, it's a new season. 2018 is new. I'm going to run and I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I'm going to obey the word of God and go all the way because God has a price for me. Are you with me this morning? Put the baggage at the door and say 2018 is a new day. You can get delivered. You can get deliverance. You can have freedom. The only thing you got to do is to leave it at the door and say it's gone. And some of us even... 2017 was the greatest year for some of you here. And say, I am not going to press forward because everything went well for 2017. I'm comfortable. I'm great. But that's a danger part too. Because you're not going to press forward. Because you're not going to go ahead. You say, wow, I did it very well 2017. If I start moving, maybe something's going to happen to me. I might get worse. But Paul has demonstrated to us, don't care if good or bad. The only thing that he cares, he's still breathing and he still has to do what God has called him to do, is to press forward and press on until the end. Some of us might be saying, I am too old. I can't do anything. I cannot walk. I'm out of breath. I'm tired. God has still a plan for your life. If you're breathing, God will still use you until the last day you have here on earth. And that's what we need to do. Press on. Go. Don't you give up. What keeps people from moving forward? It's not just the bad things, but also the good things. Because they're comfortable. So what happens is this. We get comfortable. We stay. Say, no, I'm not going to move anymore. What I see in churches is that there are a lot of people who are giving much less now than they first met Jesus. Am I the only one who sees that? Remember the day you have accepted Christ. You were on fire for God. You didn't care about anybody. You didn't even look at your parents anymore. It's not because you just wanted to know God. That's what it is. You wanted to meet him. You wanted to experience him. You wanted to be with him all the days of your life. You didn't care. You went all the way, even to go to a church service, to attend a service, to read the scriptures, to go into a praise and worship. You didn't care because your goal was to be in a place where a body of Christ was worshiping the Lord. And the time has changed. Where's that zeal for the people to know Christ? It has changed. We can see it around us. You can see it in your families. We can see it in our children. We can see it in our spouses. That zeal is no longer there to know Christ. Because if that zeal was there to know Christ, you would have 15 ushers outside waiting and greeters for those doors to be open. You have parking attendants to help them to park those cars. The zeal has been gone. And this is my prayer, is that we will continue to have that zeal for the Lord. Paul's efforts and his life is characterized on a daily effort. It's not a one-time deal. It's in every single day of his life he wanted to know Christ. It's not just, okay, I want to know Jesus on Sunday morning. No, I want to know Christ every single day of my life. Verse 12, I want to look at this again. It says, I press on, take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Do we understand that verse, what it means? Take hold to that of, hold of that. What is the that? You ask the question, what is that? What is he trying to tell us here for which Christ Jesus took hold of me? Remember, press on means to chase after. When we look at press on, it means to chase after something. So what Paul is saying this, if you want to a picture how it looks like this, imagine the way God chased you. Imagine the way he gave his son for you. He came after you and made him his own. Think of the effort and the sacrifice Jesus made for you and for me. And Paul is saying the same effort and sacrifice that Jesus made to make him his own. Paul is saying, I want to make the same effort and the same sacrifice to know him. Paul understood his effort is necessary. So if we're going to meet the goal, it takes great effort and it makes great progress. You cannot have progress if you don't give the effort. You have to have great effort to have great progress. Take hold. Take hold of that. Here's the answer in verse chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation, here's the key, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you and will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Continue to work out your salvation is not a one-time deal. It's an everyday thing of your life. It's an everyday lifestyle that you got to work with Christ. You got to walk with the Lord. And then we see this is extremely important here. Paul understood even the fear and trembling. Fear is the reverence before the Lord. We've lost the reverence before the Lord. Work out your salvation with fear and tremblance. Fear and trembling reverence and tells us here that Paul understood here a clear goal, a determined effort, and point number three, a like-minded community. You get that? Because 2018 is you and I going to think like-minded community. We got to reach out to community. If we don't reach out to community, we're losing out what God has called us to do. It's the community comes before you and I. People need to hear Jesus Christ. People need to experience that joy. People need to experience that love. People need to experience who he is. Philippians 3:15, it tells us this. If you go to the next slide. All of us, that means it takes unity. It doesn't take one person who has a like-minded community. It takes all of us to have the like-minded community. Then who are mature? Are you mature in the Lord? My prayer is you're mature in the Lord. Because if you're mature in the Lord, you got to think all like-minded community. All of us. All of us. This is reference that he was trying to say. The ideal of as a goal, giving your effort, is desiring and knowing Christ. The mark of a true believer is that they don't give up going towards the goal and keep on to be like Jesus. That's the mark of maturity. The mark of maturity is not how much you have heard of him, or you have heard how many sermons, or how many times you have attended church. The mark of true maturity is to be like Jesus. And the way is striving to be like him. The way the church is moved forward is by a group of people individually moving forward. So individually, if we move forward, the church is moving forward. If you're going to stay behind, half of us are moving forward. We got to move forward together into like-minded community. Like-minded community. You press on, you press on, you press on, you press on, and I'm going to press on. We all press on towards that goal. Together, we go ahead. We always want the church to do great things. We always want the church to have great programs. But we're having a hard time to do the basic things. What are some of the basic things? Spending time with God alone. Worshiping the Lord on your own time. Not in the church, but your own time. Fighting sin. Involved in the community. Involved in the community. Us together is the key word. It tells us in Philippians 3:17, it says, join together in following my example. Brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Let's do it together. Giving a word of clear goal, a determined effort as we act like-minded community. My prayer is that all of us will know one thing, and to know him and to have fellowship with him. The reality is we need each other in the race. We need encouragement with one another. And we cannot do this alone. We need each other. So my encouragement to some of you this morning is in 2018. I can't do it all. And I'm telling you, I cannot do it all. If a brother or sister needs an encouragement, for one time you can put that supper aside and say, you know something, I want to spend 5 minutes of my time with you. It will change the life of that person completely. That supper is not going to go away. But that 5 minutes of your time can transform someone's life completely. And when we work together, great things will happen. Great things will happen. I'm getting to my thing this morning here. If you and I committed to the church, we would love to have you here. If you're not committed and you come here once in a while, we would love to have you here. But if this is not going to be your home church, you go to a place where there's the Word of God being preached, not just emotionalism, but where the Word of God is being preached that you can grow and maybe matured in the things of God. Find a place where the body of Christ reaches the community. This is a key. Find a place like that. My prayer is that you stay here. You don't go anywhere. But this is where I want to share it with you though. Application for this morning as I'm coming to a conclusion is this. We know our mission is this. Let's bring it up there for a moment. We, the people of New Hope Christian Assembly, will what? Seek to demonstrate God's love in a meaningful and practical ways in the church and in the community. Now, God's love. To seek and to demonstrate God's love. To have that love is to spend time with him. All right? The more time you spend with him, the more the love of God fills in your heart, a spiritual maturity. And then, that's the mission of the church. I didn't put that up there. But maybe I'll change it in the future, but I'm looking at here for a moment here, and it says love in a meaningful and a practical ways in the life, so that God's love is in your life, you will love one another in the church, and then also you will love the community and help out the things in the community. My goal is that New Hope Christian Assembly will make all the effort to be like Christ, so we will love and we will go throughout the church and into the community. So the love comes in us and goes through the community. All is saying that our community, we have the opportunity to experience God's love, to be more like Jesus. And I quote, because I like this one here. And it really touched my heart with this. The next slide here says here, leading people to live a life of worship, a life of community, and a life on a mission. So when you look at the life of worship, it's very simple. Read the Bible. This is what it is. Read the Bible, study the Bible, obey the word, and worship the Lord. That's life of worship. That's basically spiritual growth. That's what we need to do. That's the four basic things you can do. Read, study, obey, and worship is important. That's the life of worship for you and God. Fast can go on there. There's other things you can put on life of worship. I'm just giving you some little things there. Then your life in the community. We could look at this. It amazes me how much people don't attend church on a regular basis. It amazes me. It shocks me. And I come on Sunday morning, and sometimes I'm even pushed away and say, what? What's happening? Where's that zeal to be attending church week after week? And then you're asking me, and you're asking us, and you're asking God, why you're not answering my prayer? Because we don't spend time with God during the week. We don't spend time with God. We don't take that zeal to go to a church on a Sunday morning. It hurts me to see that. We find all the excuses. Maybe the worship is too long, it's too loud, or it's too noisy. We can find all the excuses. The preacher is boring, he's bald, he's fat, whatever you want to call it. There's no excuses, because if you want to know Christ, you will make every effort to know Christ. That's what it is. Now, I might sound upset, but I'm not upset, because my heart longs for all of us to know more Christ. Because when we long to know Christ more, things change. Speak to couples. Pastor, this is my situation I'm having. One simple question, have you spent time in the Word of God? No. I have no more. I can't say anything else no more. If you know the Word, if you know God, and you don't spend time with that, how do you want me to respond to it? It's not, I didn't put you in that shoe. You put yourself in that position. You put yourself in that. So there's, you thought that was going to finish today. I'm not finishing. I'm not going to finish yet. Making that commitment to want to go to church, being constant in your, be consistent in your attendance. That's my encouragement. It's okay to miss once a month. I'm not trying to be in a military day, like, you got to be like this. Because it's not about church to walk with Christ, but it's a place, it's biblical, to get together and worship together, to hear the word together. The gathering of the saints come together. We forgot those hymns that we used to sing as when the brothers and sisters get together. That's the good times. We get together, it's biblical, in fellowship with one another. But no, other things are more important to get together. Yeah, help us, Lord, for real. It hurts me to see that. In my prayers, even our young people would just have that zeal to know God more. Love people. And encourage people. Give your time to the church. Don't wait for someone to come up to you and say you want to get involved. You run and bombard the pastor. And you tell him, say, I want to get involved. Because when you get involved, I'll put you in the community. Because that's what we need to be, a like-minded community. To go out and preach the gospel to people. So they can experience the joy. And then life on a mission. So many opportunities at work. Get involved in the community, seniors, and feeding the homeless. Get involved in a short-term mission. We're going to Serbia. We're going to Uganda. Get involved for that. Say, I want to do something different in 2018. I want to get out of that comfort zone. I want to get out of my box. And don't find excuses. Remove all those excuses, or I'm old, or my leg is hurting. Just do it. The greatest thing. Or we could say finances. Well, find the finances. If God has planned for you to go on a short-term mission, He will find the money for you to go. But have that willing heart to say, I'm going to go this year and going to change. I want to do something different. I want to be different in 2017. When the church will do something for the community, get involved. Get excited. It's about people, New Hope Christian Assembly. It's about people. It's not about you and I. It's about people. So get involved. To make progress is to do it one time, one day at a time. Take it a time at a time, one day at a time. So what is your resolution this year? I pray it goes like this. Make every effort to be like Christ. In Philippians 3:17, that join together in following my example. Brothers, just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. To love Christ, to press toward the goal in every individual's lives of worship, a life of community, a life on a mission, and you and I will be surprised of God what will He do in our lives. Are you with me in 2018? More consistency in our attendance. More consistency in our reading. I love the fact that some of the people are really applying, and I pray that every one of us are applying this. We gave out the calendars, this agenda, to every single person in this church who have not. You can have one at the end of the service. But there's people, individuals in this church that call me on a regular basis and says, this question here, I'm having a hard time with this. Can you explain this? Can you explain this? I love that. It challenges us. That shows me that person is spending time in reading the Word. But there's only a few that do that. But I would like if 100 of us would call me, then I would just ship them to the secretary. But 100 of us would just call and say, you know, son, I need to know verse 13. Or I need to understand this chapter. What does this mean in my life? Now, I'm putting myself in a little hole here, because if everybody calls me, I don't have all the answers, by the way. I'm going to send you somewhere else, google.com. But you know what I mean. Take that time to read the Word in 2018. Not just on a Sunday morning. Read it daily. Study it daily. Make that a habit of yours to read the Bible. Love Christ. And if you love Christ, you got to make that effort. If you want to love Christ more and more, you got to make the effort to do the basic things. Then here's the conclusion. Philippians 3:13-14. I will read the 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. God has called Paul. God has called you to do something great. And He's called us to press forward. Don't give up. Just because you're comfortable today, it doesn't mean you have progress. You got to do it on a daily thing to know more Christ every single day of your life. That's my encouragement to all of you this morning. If we can all stand this morning, I just want to pray over your life this morning. And I just pray that you will have a clear goal in mind, a determined effort, and also a like-minded community to help this community. Get involved in a community. Get involved in this church. If you're not in this church, get involved somewhere. That people of God are worshiping the Lord. As the music team comes forward, we're just going to one song together as a worship song. If Brother Oliver can lead us into a worship song. And just start off 2018 as we already done this morning. But just worship the Lord and say, you know something? Yeah, Lord, You spoke to me this morning through Your Word. And I want to know more of You this year. I want to know more of You this year. So just take this time of worshiping Him. But remember, you need to make an effort to know Him. If you're just going to keep your mouth shut, you're not going to know Him more. You got to make an effort to know Him. So just want to worship the Lord, and then we're just going to conclude this morning with a prayer. Mm-hmm.
I need you more. I need you more.
More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Today, I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord,
more.
More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat,
Jesus.
More than anything, and Lord, as the time goes by, I'll be by your side. 'Cause I never want to go back to my old life.
More than the air I breathe,
more than the song I sing,
yes,
more than the next heartbeat, more than anything, and Lord, as the time goes by,
yes.
I need you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Father, we thank you for the day, O God. We thank you for your presence and your spirit in this place. Father, it is our prayer as we sung the last song, we need you more. We need you more in our lives, more in our homes, more in this church, Lord. We need you more, O God. And Father, our prayer is that we're going to give all the effort as we can, O Lord, to get to know you more, O God. To spend time with you. To spend time with your word. To study your word and to obey your word, O God. O Lord, help us, O Lord. To overcome, O Lord, some situations in our life, O God. Father, we want to go into 2018 with a new vision, O God. With different opportunities, O God. Father, as Paul wanted to know you, this is our goal, is to know you more, O God. Father, I pray for everyone in this place this morning, O Lord. I pray that the Word of God touched their life. I pray that they took the Word, O God, and applied it to their lives, O Lord. That when we leave this place, we will reflect and say, thank you, Jesus, for your word this morning that challenged us, oh God, to be more like you. 2017 is gone, but Lord, 2018 is a different year. And we want to make all the effort, oh God, to get to know you, Lord. Father, I pray for every family here. In the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that you will strengthen them, oh Lord, as they lead their families, as they lead their homes, as they lead their children, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you will give them the wisdom from on high, oh God, upon their life, oh Lord, that the children, oh God, will take the example to follow Christ. Thank you, Lord. For this church. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this freedom to worship you and to adore your name, to glorify you. We continue to pray, O God, for one of another, O God. And let your will be done upon our lives, O God, and upon this church, O Lord. Father, we want to see lives change in 2018. We want to see lives, oh Father, accept Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. We want to see, oh Father, breakthroughs. We want to see, oh God, healings. We want to see, Lord, transformation lives and people, oh God. We want to see people changed, oh Father. We want to see people, oh God, in attending, oh Father, in church services, in attending regularly, oh God. And to love you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Be with us today as we go home, O God. In your precious name we ask these things, O Lord. And all God's people say, amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God.